Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. When he beats the bushes for the story, he beats the crap out of them. This is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, we are back. We are we're going to deal with the subject of Major League Baseball in this hour. We saw what the Pittsburgh Penguins did last night before the game against the Philadelphia Flyers with the impromptu the playing of the Canadian National Anthem. Like I said, I'm making the point. I'm not going to sit here and rank tragedies and say, hey, one's more than another, or come on, this is our tragedy. Why don't you people recognize it? But I think Major League Baseball really dropped the ball here in not at least taking a minute to acknowledge the situation. And well, we'll take your calls now. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe I'm just off base. Maybe I'm guilty of being a little maudlin. I don't know. But I expected more. And we'll take your calls on that. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Who got it right and who got it wrong? I guess that's the best way to ask the question. We are 2 weeks into the NHL season, and as we learned last night watching the Edmonton Oilers beat the Washington Capitals for their second straight win, there's always a danger of jumping to conclusions. Having said that, that's what we do in this business. The lifeblood of this business is jumping to conclusions. And if everybody sat around and waited for reality, yeah, what would be the fun in that? Greg Wyshynski is editor of the authoritative, I've been waiting to use that word for a while, Puck Daddy blog on Yahoo Sports. He's also co-host of the Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Wyshynski. You probably already are. If you're not, what the hell is wrong with you? Greg Wyshynski joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Wyshynski.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't be following me on Twitter. I mean, after all, I've explained all of my feelings about the Avengers Age of Ultron trailer, which is, of course, all the things hockey fans want to talk about this morning, right?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's the beauty of Twitter. I can find out what you have for breakfast. Well, you're not a food Twitter guy. Keith Law, I mean, I love Keith. And I've known Keith for years. But I really don't need to. Keith's recipe for apple pie, I don't need to. It's good, mind you. It's good. It's damn good. But I don't need to get it. That's all I'm saying.
Truth be told, I'm a foodie, and I'm a bit of a food porn photograph guy, but I keep all that stuff on Instagram. I don't put it on Twitter all that much.
It's a smart man that you are.
I don't clog the feed with food at the very least. But I have been known to play-by-play Top Chef once in a while on Twitter.
That's
Gus. By the way, there's a MasterChef Canada that's been on the U.S. Television lately, and I've greatly enjoyed it.
MasterChef Canada.
See how Canada handles competitive cooking shows and nastiness. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
It is. You get a lot of people giving 110%. You notice that?
Oh, 110%. Got to do it all the time.
And I think, most of the, if I'm not mistaken, most of the chefs, their nicknames are like Macker and Biffer and Ricker. I'm just kidding.
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
I won't. What surprises you so far through this this very early, very, 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 very early part of the NHL season? Is there a surprise sticking out to you, a disappointment? I'll ask you the same question I asked Renaud Lavoie. Were we maybe too quick to dump on the Edmonton Oilers?
No, I mean, a couple of good games, and obviously goaltending makes a huge difference, for any coach, and I think that's the case lately for the Oilers. But, I think structurally overall, there's still a team that's going to struggle this year. I don't like them on the blue line. I don't like their toughness up front. I still think that when push comes to shove, if this team doesn't have a lead, say, entering the third period, I have a very hard time believing they're going to be able to rally. I just don't think they know how to win yet. So I think that it's been a definitely a positive movement, which is good. It does probably keep a few Edmonton fans with their jerseys on their backs rather than on the ice, which is always a positive thing. But overall, I think they're a team I'm still a little worried about. I'll tell you who surprised me. I wrote about this guy yesterday on Puck Daddy. Is the offensive surge from Rick Nash at the beginning of the season, where he's leading, I think he's still leading the NHL in goals. And, you know, like you said, you don't want to jump to conclusions. You don't want to put this guy's name down for the Rocket Richard quite yet. And there obviously is a lot of metrics you can apply to his start to say that his shooting percentage is unsustainable. But in talking to Nash and covering him a little bit, now that I'm in New York, there's a difference in this guy. He's in better shape physically than he's been since I've covered him. I mean, he used to be a guy who carried a little baby fat and stuff like that. He's very lean, very lithe. He did a lot of running and sprinting during the offseason, more than he's ever done before. Him having a kid, new father thing, I think, has really kind of set his mind right and maybe in some ways put that terrible postseason he had last year out of his mind. I think Nash's start is for real. I don't think all of a sudden we're going to see this guy plummet into 15 games without a goal or something. It looks like he's really kind of figured things out at the start of the season. I'd expect it to continue, especially when he gets Derek Stepan. He's doing all of this without his center. Derek Stepan out of the lineup. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it's I mean, people have been waiting for that key to unlock the door, right, haven't they, with Rick Nash in New York? I mean, they really have.
They have, and he's had good seasons. And, you know, the mantra that Alain Vigneault always used last postseason when Nash simply wasn't scoring goals was that he was doing everything else great except for putting the puck in the net. Problem being, he's getting paid to put the puck in the net. I think one of the factors last season for him that so far hasn't been a thing this season is fearlessness. I mean, he got concussed last year, second concussion within 10 months. I think he admitted during the training camp that there were parts of the ice he wasn't too fond of going to anymore because of that concussion. Now he's crashing the net. He's scoring goals from in close in the slot. He looks like a different player. Now, the fear is that the next hit to the head is going to be another, you know, 3 months out of the lineup, and that's always going to be a fear for him going forward. But so far, so good for Rick Nash.
Greg Wyshynski joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I guess one of the other teams that has to be a surprise 6 games in Nashville, because a lot of people predicted, well, we were just wondering, could Peter Laviolette, how is that going to work? And, you know, Nashville's what? Their goal differential's +5, which is, it's not spectacular, but they're undefeated at home. I don't know. Now, I don't think they can sustain it. I'm reasonably certain they can't sustain what they're doing, but they may be a little more competitive than a lot of people thought they'd be. Now, that may not be enough, obviously, Greg, in the West. I mean, being competitive may just get you a little tick above the Connor McDavid sweepstakes and nothing else, but they look at least as if they can be competitive.
Oh, yeah, and you know, I thought they would be competitive because Laviolette rarely goes into a situation and doesn't find a way to kick everybody's notch up a few and get everybody playing a little bit better. He seems to be able to unlock lineups pretty well and understand what combinations work. I'm still, you know, the good thing for Nashville coming into the season is they still had, you know, two parts of the Holy Trinity that you need to win in the NHL, which is they had a goalie and they had a defenseman that can play 25, 26 minutes a night. And that's a great foundation on which to build. My problem with this team remains the middle. And they're getting really good performances out of guys like Derek Roy off the top. But at some point, you look at what this team has in the middle and you think about what the Western Conference is bringing every night, whether it's Getzlaff and Kessler, whether it's Kopitar and Carter, whether it's Taves and whoever on the Blackhawks sharp. It's tough to win in that conference when you're bringing what the Nashville Predators are bringing in the middle every night. So that's still going to be my hesitation with, you know, seeing them as a playoff contender, is what's going to happen when they start playing the elite and they're getting gobbled up by the, you know, the 2-3 deep centers that they're playing every night.
Greg Wyshynski joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. We were joined earlier by Renaud Lavoie of TVS Sports, and we were talking about the Oilers, just to return focus there. And I mean, Greg, a lot of people around the NHL just assume, and granted, we've assumed this for a while, that at some point the Oilers are going to have to move one of their prized young forwards in order to get a goaltender, or at least get some sort of veteran contributor, you know, somebody beyond a fourth line or a or a third line guy. He's throwing out the name Nail Yakupov. I want to ask you, what do you think the market would be for a guy like Yakupov? Because I think we agree that if push comes to shove and they have to move somebody, it's probably their first choice would probably be Yakupov, would it not?
Of course it would. It's not going to be Nugent Hopkins because, you know, it's hard to find a center that can do the things he can do. And there are still issues with his size, and there are still issues with his ability to win a faceoff. But, I mean, trading a center that can, you know, potentially get you 80 points is something that you probably shouldn't do.
Right.
You know, they're not trading Taylor Hall because he's a star. And that brings it to two players, you know, Eberle and Yakupov. And the real issue is that, yeah, I could see them trading Yakupov in a second because he hasn't worked out. and it's going to be a problematic thing. And frankly, I think they feel like they could flip him and get something back. But the problem is that if you really want to get something of quality back, if you really want to move the chains and get this team, you know, a few players back moving in the right direction, then Eberle's the guy you need to trade. I think he has infinitely more trade value than Yakupov does. I think he's a more fully formed player. I think people know what he's getting. There's not an X factor of mystery there with Eberle. You know what you're getting. And he's just a gamer. He's a guy that around the league has a lot of respect for the way he plays. And I happen to think that you get more back for Eberle than you do for Yakupov at this point.
Greg, was good of you to join us. Thanks so much, as always.
Anytime. Thanks.
It's Greg Wyshynski, Mr. Puck Daddy. You can read his stuff on Yahoo Sports. And he is co-host of the Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. An interesting discussion with Greg and before him with Renaud Lavoie about the Edmonton Oilers and about where the Oilers go. And as I said, we've all believed, hockey fans, not just media in Edmonton or hockey fans in Edmonton. I think most hockey fans have spent the past couple of years trying to figure out which of that core of young players the Oilers move in order to address some of the pressing issues facing that team, in order to address some of the core issues that go beyond the young core of that team, chief among those issues being goaltending. And Renaud Lavoie hearing that Nail Yakupov, and understandably he would be the Oilers' first choice to move of all those young guys, but there may have been some discussions between the Leafs and Edmonton. It certainly wouldn't be an even up deal with Yakupov for Reimer, but that may be the focal point of it. I'm trying to picture Nail Yakupov in a Leafs jersey, and the only word that comes to mind is nightmare. I'm trying to figure out how it would work. So let's throw it out there. Let's go to the phone lines at 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Renaud Lavoie reporting that there's some interest between the Oilers and the Leafs. Nail Yakupov might be the guy. We're 2 weeks into the NHL season. We've seen a little bit of the Leafs. What do you think the Leafs need right now? 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. We're going to have a little sports talk. And also, you know, I threw out this question earlier. We can talk about this as well, because we haven't had a chance to talk since the events in Ottawa. But if you've got something to say about the way the Pittsburgh Penguins handled the situation last night, the way Major League Baseball didn't, give me a call as well. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. We'll use this as a bridge towards Troy Rank, the Broncos beat writer for the Denver Post. We'll get you set for tonight's game. But, you know, you'd probably know me enough by now to know that I'm kind of really reluctant to sort of go in down the road of, hey, I'm pissed off that you didn't think my tragedy was important enough that you would acknowledge it on Fox with a moment of silence before the game. Yeah, you probably know I'm not wired that way. I one of the reasons I'm not a huge fan of anthems before games or things like that, although I admittedly I'm a hell of a much bigger fan today than I was 48 hours ago, you know, is I think you open the door to kind of rating things, right? Well, this warrants a moment of silence. This doesn't warrant a moment of silence. This does. This doesn't. You open that door. I think there's a way to do these things spontaneously. Like, I love what they do at the ACC with Loops Troops. I love when Mark Burley, every Sunday afternoon, when they honor a member of the military. You know, and I approach it a little differently because I, you know, spent the first 6 years of my life in an armed forces base, and my family was a military family, and that's how my dad made his living. And I never look at it as you're honoring a guy going off to war. I always look at it as you're honoring someone for their public service. You're honoring somebody for doing something that the vast majority of us either don't have the inclination or the motivation to do. And I always look at it that way. I don't view it as honoring a fighting man. I view it as honoring someone who has given their service to the country. And that can be in any level. That can be going over and helping, you know, helping build a well in a developed country, or working in the fight against Ebola, or going over to Haiti as part of a police force. I mean, it's all sorts of stuff. And that's the way I look at it. So I want to have that discussion a little bit. And let's talk about Ren LaVaughn's report as well. Matt and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. How are you, Matt?
Good. And yourself, Jeff?
I'm doing well.
Love the show. Listen, I just wanted to make a quick comment on this Yakupov and Edmonton situation. I personally think that would be a terrible idea. You know, someone who's unproven like that, and I really hope they're thinking about Eberle maybe for a Reimer and Sathindo or something along those lines. But, yeah, Eberle is a game changer, and I would love to see him in a Leaf uniform as opposed to Yakupov.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I appreciate the call, Matt. But people are going to say, well, come on, you're talking about fantasy trades. Well, it's sports talk radio, people. I always tell people, I don't know, people have this allergy to, well, it's just a waste of time to talk about trades. What the hell do you think sports writers do when they get together at the bar? Oh, besides that. Spencer in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Spencer?
Thanks for taking my call this morning.
No problem.
I just wanted to talk just a little bit about the MLB response to the events in Ottawa.
Absolutely. Yesterday. Absolutely.
And it was an unfortunate day yesterday for the country and the nation, obviously. But I think MLB didn't do anything wrong by not responding to the events. I think the events of yesterday happened so fast for everybody across this country that to, I guess, make a tweak to the production last night might have just been a little too much. And MLB did a great job last night preparing a game to the fans. They did a great broadcasting job, but just in any way, I don't feel they got it wrong just because of the way everything transpired last night. Now, for instance, if there was a game tonight, there would be a great opportunity to make a tribute to Canada. However, it's just not in the cards due to the schedule. And I think the actions by the NHL were very respectful of Canada last night. However, no fault on the MLB by not doing anything. In great game last night.
Spencer, I appreciate the call. Simon Chargot on Twitter, and we did exchange, we didn't have an exchange, but Simon did tweet this out earlier. I'm just throwing this out there. Once again, I repeat, this is from Simon. MLB played God Save the Queen at the 2005 All-Star Game after the London terror attacks, but couldn't bother to mention terror in Canada. To my point, you go down that path, you have to expect this. Like I said, I'm not sitting here saying, hey, boy, if you had done that on Fox, I would have felt a whole lot better about what had gone on in Ottawa. Right? It's not going to bring Nathan back. It's not. But the recognition would have been fitting. That's probably the right word. It would be fitting. Now, and I have to tell you, it's not the first time that, and in fact, it may not even be an MLB decision. A lot of you may not even know this. I remember writing it at the time, but I've been to World Series games where O Canada has been played before the game, and Fox just hasn't carried it. They've gone to commercial, and they've come back for the rendition of the American anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. I remember writing about it. I don't remember exactly which year it was, but I remember writing about it, and it was obvious. And, you know, I can tell you that not only were those of us who were Canadian writers there a little pissed off, I can tell you that a lot of the American writers thought it was incredibly, incredibly, incredibly bad form as well. Todd in Burlington, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Todd?
How are you?
I am doing okay. I'm doing better today than I was yesterday at this time.
Yeah, yeah. Just a couple of quick points. The first one, Yakupov coming to Toronto, I don't think that's what they need. I think they need like an older player who still has lots of game left in him to lead the team, like the Eric Staal kind of rumor that was going around.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in Pittsburgh, I'm not surprised at all. Ownership with Merrill Lemieux,
yes.
Canada is hockey, hockey is Canada, all the respect for that team and organization. And with MLB, I must just say I think it happened kind of fast for MLB. I mean, if this was a regular season, I would probably have something to say with it being the top stage. Maybe I would say let them kind of think about it today and kind of say, you know, we should do something and we have to do something right away and give them the next game in San Francisco a little bit of time. I'm driving around Burlington, Milton, and Mississauga area today, and it's unbelievable. I don't know if I've gone by a Canadian flag that hasn't been half-mast. I'm sitting in front of five of them, that's half-mast all side by side. It's a tragic story, and I think that MLB will, I hope that come the next game they'll have something put together for it.
Jerome, I appreciate the call. Should give Major League Baseball a chance to talk about this. I did reach out yesterday, but I admit it was later in the day. My only thing is, it's the capital city of the country where you have a team. A team that has won a couple of World Series. Not that that would make any difference. Not that that would make any difference whether or not the team had won the World Series. I'm not entirely certain how complicated a process it would be. Mike in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, longtime fan, buddy.
Thank you very much and welcome.
Yeah, first of all, my thoughts are out to the people in Ottawa for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Going on the Leafs here. I take Yakupov in a heartbeat. But
okay.
They probably have to cost Gardner for that.
Well, yeah, I think...
You know what, Jeff? I do something bigger. Why
okay.
not? Let's throw Reimer in the mix. Let's throw Jeff Fratton in the mix. And let's ask for maybe Fast, their goalie there, Fast, and Yakupov, and maybe one
Whoa.
Of them defensemen.
Whoa. So now you're putting... Oh, I appreciate the call. Look, and actually, Ren Lavoie did say, you know, that what he's hearing is that it's just a... You know, that would be part of the deal, and it wouldn't be even up. And that makes sense. And look, I think we can all agree, the Leafs, I just think they need more talent. I just think they need more talent up front. I'm just not convinced. And I don't know if it was Doug McLean. Somebody made this point recently about the Leafs may have enough first line talent. We're just not certain that there's enough top six forwards. I think somebody mentioned that. There's such a drop off. Just in terms of the actual talent of the forwards. Matt in Cambridge, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff. Just to address the thing in Ottawa real quick, I do think the Major League Baseball dropped the ball. If something had happened to that extent at the Capitol building or the White House, I would certainly hope that we would acknowledge it before a sporting event, and I was disappointed that they didn't do that.
Well, Major League Baseball would have ensured, I can tell you, because I'm having dealt a couple of times with that process, I can tell you that Major League Baseball, if something had happened, would have sent out, for example, if this was in the regular season and that was in Washington, there would have been a missive sent out from the commissioner's office to teams saying, you got to do this.
that actually almost makes it a little more egregious that they didn't acknowledge it then on our part.
Well, and my point is, and you know what, a caller made the point that, hey, you know, maybe it was the turnaround was too fast. Maybe they'll do something. That's entirely possible.
That's true. It was still an ongoing situation too. And just to address the Yakupov trade real quick, I would do Reimer for Yakupov without a doubt if that was the deal, because I think that even though he's not what the Leafs necessarily need, it would open up the possibility of dealing another forward for maybe a stay-at-home defenseman. Mm-hmm. So if you acquired somebody like Yakupov and you still have that potential going forward, then maybe you can move somebody like a Joffrey Lupul or maybe a Nazem Kadri to try to shore up the back end. And can I just ask one more question before
I go? Sure, sure.
Would you be interested at all? I don't want to play the fantasy game like you do, but and I know you don't either, but
I don't mind.
What if it was something like Reimer, Gardner, and Kadri for maybe one of the Edmonton goalies and a Jordan Eberle? Would you be interested in doing a trade like that?
I would do that trade. I would do that trade in a heartbeat. If I was the Edmonton Oilers, though, I wouldn't go anywhere near that. I think it was Greg Wyshynski made the point, and I've heard it from other people as well. There's Jordan Eberle is, if you talk to a lot of hockey people, there are so many aspects to his game, so many layers to his game that people really, really, really like. Yeah, I would do it. Look, I don't think there should be anybody untouchable in this Leafs team. You know, there are degrees, right? You would ideally not want to move Morgan Riley. I would ideally not want to move Phil Kessel. I don't know beyond that, though. I don't know where I would draw the line. I honestly don't know what to make of Jake Gardner, because there are days that there were stretches last year where I watched Jake Gardner and I thought, oh my God, this guy has turned the corner. This guy is so good. You know, and you know that if you use the advanced stats, advanced statistical analysis, you know how strongly he scores in that area of the game. But there are just some times where I just kind of go, is that all there is? See, I don't find myself doing that. I don't like that feeling. I never feel that way about Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley can have a horse bleep game. And you go, well, boy, that was a stinker. But you always assume that there's a chance that the next game is going to be better. I don't like in any sport coming away with looking at a player and just kind of, eh, is that all there is? I'll give you a bad game. I'll give you an 0 for 15. There are times, it doesn't matter how good you are, you are just going to flat out suck. You are going to be horrible in every sport. But I don't mind that if I know that at some point there's going to be a payoff, right? At some point, what you're watching, what you're going through, at some point it's going to turn around and it's going to be a payoff. And you know, regardless of how badly the guy is playing, that is essentially the best you're getting. The best that night you're getting the best the guy has to give. May not be great, but you're getting the best the guy has to give. And you can live with all that. But with Jake Gardner, as I said, I find myself too many times just asking myself if that's all there is. And if that's all there is, on a lot of those occasions, I end up telling myself, if that's all there is, it ain't good enough. Rocky and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Before I say anything, I just want to say what went on in Ottawa was very unfortunate and terrifying. And I hope everybody is safe over there. I want to talk about the trade. I don't know if I would make that trade. My guess is that I think Nazem Kadri is going to get traded by trade deadline, because first and foremost, he's a free agent after his season. I don't think the Leafs are high on him anymore because they gave him so many chances. I thought he might turn out to be a good player. And maybe he might even get the same amount of dollars as Subban. However, that's not the case. And on top of that, Yakupov, I don't know, but I know he's young, but he still has a lot of game to become a superstar. And I think what makes a difference is veteran leadership. And I'm not sure the Leafs have that right now. So right now it wouldn't make sense. So
Rocky, I appreciate the call. Who's winning the race? Oh, you hung up, man. Sounded like he was racing somebody. I kept waiting for the next shift. It was a 5-speed or 6-speed. I don't know. I kept waiting for the next shift. Somehow I picture Rocky on a Harley with, hooked up and all that stuff. And he's cruising down the road. Didn't you guys keep waiting for that one more shift, one more gear? Maybe I'm just. Oh, that's true. He probably will. He'll call Travis in 30. I just kept waiting. I'm going. Just ask him if he won. If he was racing, ask him if he won, because it sure sounded like something was going fast. Rocky and his Harley. Just picture it. Calling in the Jeff Blair Show. Anyhow. Brian and Milton. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Brian?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well, Brian. Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to say a kudos to our armed forces people in general. I have two good friends and a nephew who are in the armed forces, and yesterday was a day where we got a real stark reminder of how brave these people are.
Yeah.
Braver people than I am, that's for sure. I don't have the stones to go stand in front of what those guys were doing.
You and me both, my friend.
Kudos to them. Now, on to sports then, and I would think that I can't imagine any team who's watched Yakupov play more than three times would be interested in trading for him. I'd be really shocked to hear that. One thing I have a question for you, though. I have heard the rumor repeatedly now that Edmonton is shopping Eberle to Flyers for a package involving Couturier. Have you heard anything like that?
The only thing I've heard is that, and again, this comes as no surprise, that Edmonton is really would be really reluctant to trade either, obviously not Taylor Hall, but Nugent Hopkins or Eberle, and that if you had to rank them, those three would be in one area and Nail Yakupov would be someplace in the bottom. You know what, though? It feels like the kind of deal that Philadelphia would make. The only concern I would have is if I'm Edmonton and I'm moving one of these guys, I've got to get a goalie or a really good defenseman in return. I don't know if I, deal young forward for young forward. What am I really gaining? Well, maybe different skill sets, but what am I really gaining if I do that? You like to think ideally, regardless of the sport, regardless of the team, that when you take a trade, you are taking from, when you make a trade, you're taking from an area of strength to buttress an area of weakness. And I don't see how that does that. I just don't see him as a Philadelphia Flyer, to be honest. Thursday night football tonight, Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos be playing the San Diego Chargers. Of course, Peyton Manning coming off his record-breaking outing on Sunday. It's almost like it's just kind of back to business for Peyton Manning tonight. We'll have the game, by the way, 7:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario with the pregame show. Rich Eisen, Michael Irvin, Marshall Faulk, and Steve Mariucci. And then Jim Nantz, Phil Sims will have the game for you. San Diego Chargers are 5-2. They're in Denver. The Broncos are 5-1. Troy Rank is the Broncos beat writer for the Denver Post. And Troy Rank will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we are back. Hockey Central at noon. This is just around the corner. And then Tim and Sid followed, of course, by Primetime Sports. With the one and only Bob McCowan. Thursday night football takes over Sportsnet Ontario tonight. There is no baseball game. The Royals and Giants are probably as we speak. Now they're probably already in San Francisco. They're not winging their way there. Game three will go Friday in San Francisco. But we will have the Broncos and Chargers on Sportsnet Ontario, our Thursday night football presentation. The 5-1 Broncos against the 5-2 Chargers. Obviously, a lot of focus in Denver on Peyton Manning, on the career record he set last weekend. But, I don't know if you'd say this has happened quietly. If you watch the Denver Broncos play, I'm almost starting to notice the defense as much as I'm noticing Peyton Manning. And you know, you think about this, what Denver did in the offseason, the amount of money they spent, free agent defensive players, DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib, TJ Ward. Of course, they knew they were getting Von Miller back. Chris Harris Jr. returning to health. We talk about, we automatically associate Manning and offense with the Broncos, but we may be getting to the point right now where we've got to start talking about the Broncos' defense. Four of their six opponents have been held to 20 points or less. You could say five. Seattle scored, I think, 20 of its eventual 26 points in regulation. And only four teams in the NFL have allowed fewer than the Broncos' 121 points. Troy Rank is the Broncos' beat writer for the Denver Post, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Hey, Troy, long time no speak.
Jeff, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. Tell me about this defense. We've talked about Peyton Manning for a while, but it appears as if people around the NFL are starting to give the Broncos defense a little credit, aren't they?
Yeah, it just took some time. I mean, they brought in the big names, like you mentioned, Talib, Ware, TJ Ward. They got a healthy Von Miller back, healthy Chris Harris at cornerback. It just took time because they didn't play a single snap together in the preseason. The NFL preseason, that was due to guys coming back from injuries, and they were pacing DeMarcus Ware, so he played very little. And September in the NFL, in many ways, Jeff, has kind of become the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And by the third game, they started to show signs of it. And what changed, really, is their ability to stop the run. They were getting run on the first few games, but starting with the Cardinals, they improved. And then against the Jets and the Niners, they only allowed 93 yards on the ground. Part of that's a function of them. At least in the Niners game, they got a big deficit. They got ahead early and made San Francisco more predictable. But against the Jets, they just shut them down. Their running attack, 7 yards at halftime. That's what's made the difference, number one. And secondly, they're starting to get takeaways, and that starts with Talib, who's had a couple of big interceptions the last few weeks.
And this really, when you look back to the Super Bowl, I think this is what Denver needed, wasn't it? They needed a more robust defense.
Yeah, they need a defense that can make plays. And number one, stop the run and get off the field on third down, because the best defense against Manning is keeping him off the field. But when they won Super Bowls, and I covered those seasons, they were ahead a lot, like this team was last year. But that team in 98 and again 97, 98, they would get takeaways because they were playing with the lead. They were taking mm-hmm. more chances. They were blitzing. And that's what they wanted, a more aggressive defense, a tougher defense that has the ability to make plays on that side of the ball instead of just relying solely on Manning. This team really hasn't proven, Jeff, that they can win when Peyton Manning has a bad game. I mean, he's had some okay games, but they've never won a game where he's played poorly. You could argue New England would have been the closest last year, a game they thought they had in hand and let get away from him, but they want to be able to win if Peyton Manning throws for 180 yards instead of having to throw and, put up a 118 quarterback rating for them to win.
Hey, Troy, we just have a few minutes left, but I wanted to ask you this. Covering the Broncos now, what has surprised you the most about being around Peyton Manning?
His attention to detail. You hear the stories, but he knows where every brick is in the building, where every blade of grass is on the practice field. I have covered some maniacal athletes in terms of their work ethic, starting with Juan Pierre, and Troy Tulowitzki would be in that category for me, and even Todd Helton. I've never been a guy who never turns off, around a guy who never turns off. I mean, he is looking for a way to figure something out and beat you, and more mental than physical at this point in his career. I've never been around a guy that's such a consummate pro in that way. And it's almost as if, the rest of the league is in algebra and he's in calculus. He just plays at a different level. And his dedication for his age, you'd think he would get a little bored by it, but instead of bored, he just continues to have a hunger that increases each year.
Have you been able to figure out how he's able to channel that and make the players around him better without totally pissing them off? And I mean, we know in the past that he's had players, he's had teammates, he's had some run-ins with, but it seems in Denver that people are just kind of willing to go along with this. How does he do that without driving his teammate nuts?
Well, he drives a few of them nuts. Don't get, you know, it's not, let's not be Pollyanna about this, mm-hmm. but his ability to hold guys after practice is in a way that's like, hey, we're doing this because if you want me to throw you the ball, you have to be on the same page with me. Not screaming at him, run a better pattern. It's like he links them up. He syncs them into his contact book. So if you want to be part of that, you have to be part of his regimen. The other thing is, during the week of practice, he isn't railing on guys. He reacts during games, and I'm sure in ways sometimes you wish he hadn't, where it embarrasses guys. He's yelling at them because he expects perfection. But in practice, in what we observe during the week in the locker room, he's more of a guy's guy. He does mm-hmm. have a sense of humor. He's not a robot. So there is a part of him that allows him to relate to guys. Now, not always, but he's a perfectionist, but he has just enough of the ordinary guy in him to keep from driving people crazy. At least that's my observation.
Troy, it was good of you to join us. Thanks so much. You be well.
You too, Jeff. Take care, man.
Take care. That is Troy Rank. Covers the Broncos for the Denver Post. Terrific reporter, terrific writer. Got to know him over the years as a baseball writer. That's it for the Blair Show today. Hockey Central at noon is next. London Knights head coach Dale Hunter will join Millard, Kiprios, and McLean, and Flyers forward, and Chris Johnson as well, and Flyers forward Jakub Voracek is also scheduled to join the Hockey Central crew around 12:35 today. So Dale Hunter, Chris Johnson, who was in Pittsburgh last night, he's got a terrific piece on the website, sportsnet.ca, about the scene in Pittsburgh last night, the a cappella, I don't know if it's a cappella, the playing of the national anthem, the reaction to Sidney Crosby. It's a terrific piece. It's on sportsnet.ca right now. So it'll be Chris Johnson, Dale Hunter, Jakub Voracek joining the boys in Hockey Central at noon, Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.